Good evening, East York. I'm Renisa McLeod with Carrie Prinsikas and Megan Scanlon, and we're here to give you up-to-date election coverage. We'll be giving you an update every hour on the hour up until 11 o'clock. Speaking of which, things are getting kind of hot at the polls, but it's not quite what you'd expect. Instead of too little voter turnout, we've got too many. We have Veronica Blake on the line who will give us more details.
Hi, Renisa. I'm at Jane Pitfield's campaign headquarters in Ward 29, Toronto, Danforth. Supporters are frantic right now. They're receiving reports that there are lineups outside of the polling stations. And the rule is as long as you're in line before the polls close at 8, you're allowed to vote. However, these lineups are outside of the buildings, and the supporters are concerned that they won't be allowed to vote.
What polling stations are you at, Veronica?
The polling stations affected are Estonian House, Wilkinson, and Centennial College.
Do you know if they'll extend the voting for the people in lines, or is it cut and dry, that's it?
They're trying to figure that out right now. Currently, I just saw some supporters running down the street, running to the polling station, trying their best to ensure that everyone who wants to vote will be able to cast their vote.
That's all right. All right, great. We'll check back with you at 9, Veronica, and see how things are going. Thanks a lot.
Perfect. Thank you, Renisa.
Let's talk about the mayor candidates.
All right, first we're just going to give you a brief rundown of each of the top three mayoral candidates, the good, the bad, the ugly. We're going to start with Smitherman. Basically, he is against tearing down the Gardiner Expressway. As for the TTC plan, he wants to introduce smart cards, one card for all of your fares, free transportation for seniors, etc. Now we're going to see what the plan with Ford is with Megan.
Well, Rob Ford has run a hot campaign fraught with scandal and aggressive maneuvers. His personal life has been cast into the public eye with no secret left unturned, including everything from his health to his work on local football teams. He's known for his ending the gravy train talk and his want to reduce council from 44 to 22 councillors. Other hot topics for this race have included his willingness to privatize garbage collection and wanting to eliminate the land transfer tax, which also drew attention when he reneged on his plan to eliminate it within the first year. From beginning to end, Ford has given the media in Toronto a lot to talk about.
Thanks, Megan. The third candidate to round out our top three is Joe Pantalone, considered to be the old guy of the three. He seems to be the most energetic. A lot of people are giving him a bit of flack, saying he's David Miller II, but he still wants to keep charge of transit and make sure it is public, which is a huge hot topic amongst the voters.
Now, when it comes to the personal lives of the candidates, how much do citizens have the right to know? Everyone became well aware of Jambroni's sex scandal. Concerns over Ford's physical state have come up recently at a debate last month when a doctor questioned him about his weight and whether or not he is concerned. Now, how do you guys feel about this? What do you think that the public really has the right to know when it comes to the personal lives or the physical state of somebody, one of the candidates?
I think that in a way it's almost a responsibility for the candidate to be open at least about his health, because he or she is going to be in charge of us for the foreseeable future. So if we think that the candidate will have some health issues or will have to back out, we need a backup plan. So I think it's essential for everyone to know what's going on.
And I completely agree. You know, when it comes to, you know, these sex scandals, for me, it's more about whether they lied about it. But ultimately, I have this concern in this mass media, no secrets world that we're losing sight of what politics is about and about what these people have delivered in the past and what they're going to do in the future. No one's perfect. And unfortunately, no one seems to be allowed to make mistakes anymore.
I agree with you, Megan. The question is, though, what kind of degree of mistakes are getting made? I think some mistakes could essentially be okay, maybe smoothed over, but not swept under the carpet. Some, though, are just not forgivable.
Well, there's also a concern when it comes to the physical state of some of the candidates. I mean, one of the points that Dr. K, who was the person that posed the question at that debate, he's concerned that because of Ford's issues with his anger as well, that he's susceptible to a heart attack or a stroke.
Unfortunately, I am going to have to side with the doctor. This is something that I brought up right at the beginning of the election, but was almost given, was given quite a bit of slack for mentioning the health of this candidate. But when it comes down to it, you know, this is a highly stressful position with lots of issues already can be created. You've seen men in politics, when I say men, but unfortunately that's the way it goes. You see pictures of them before and after their time in election, and they have aged significantly from the effects of the stress. And if we have someone in council who obviously, you know, doesn't necessarily take care of themselves as well as I would like to see them, we need to know that they're going to be there for the next 4 years to run this city.
Interestingly, the presidential candidates do have checkups by doctors. Bush did, Obama does. Do you think something like that would apply not just for Toronto, but for Ontario and Canada?
I mean, sure, why not? Because at that point, if we're not making sure that this person is healthy enough to run it, we might as well be voting for who the replacement mayor is going to be at this point, right?
We don't want to leave candidates left staggering and scrambling. But speaking of being honest, what do we think about morals amongst the candidates? There has been some scandal.
Well, this year has been fraught with anger, accusations, and an anybody but Ford feel. When it comes to voting, the best candidate may not be good enough to get your vote. What do you think, ladies? Is strategic voting wise?
It depends, though I find it's rather interesting that Pantalone seems to be the candidate that hasn't had the anything but Ford mentality, is vote for me because I can actually do something. I think that frame of mind is actually fairly healthy, not just for a mayoral candidate, but for us as the populace. Carrie?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. When I woke up this morning, I still didn't know who I was going to vote for. And I'm sure that there were a lot of people in my position as well. And it was kind of like a crash course. I mean, the whole time that this election has been going on, I've been doing my research just like the average person, I would say. But it's still, you have to consider, like, who are you going to vote for? Once that time comes, there's no escaping it. You have to make a decision. And some people choose to make a strategic vote just to put somebody else out that they don't want. And I don't know, it's a tough call.
For me personally, I feel that, like, strategic voting, in the end, it's about turning up and voting, regardless of who you put that pen down to, that you have the responsibility to vote. But beyond that, I won't lie, I have several times in my life voted strategically based on the fact that there was someone or a party coming into power that I didn't necessarily think that I could handle having in power, and whatever it took to sort of sway. You know, I don't always, you know, even today after my vote, I don't know that I made the right decision because it was that sort of a convoluted of a process. But I think that it's an each person to themselves.
Alternately, the question is, how would some people vote if they don't have time to do the research? Some people might vote because they know the candidate from before, or even because they like the candidate's name. I think if you're going to vote for your city, it is your responsibility, but it's also your responsibility to do the research so we actually know what we're getting ourselves into. Likewise, if you don't vote, you don't really have much of a right to complain.
I talked to a guy today who was voting, and when it came down to the school board trustees, he literally put the name down that he saw on a sign. And let's be honest, people vote by names that they know. This is going to be the way it is. And so, you know, when it comes to doing the research, most people don't end up doing it, and they end up following their hearts. But I'll be honest with you guys, honestly, following your heart is as important in elections as it is in protecting yourself and other such topics.
You know what, Megan, you brought up a really good point there, and that is that people do vote just based on name recognition. I was speaking to Royson James recently. He's a political columnist for the Toronto Star, and he said that studies have shown that people just vote for the name. They don't even know what it is that the person stands for. They just see a name that they recognize. They put an X beside it.
Which really leads us to marketing. I saw some really interesting marketing today. People were handing out flyers as a reminder to vote. It was actually a subtle thing to get you interested in Smitherman. They used pictures, colors, and just cell placement, which I thought was interesting. But another thing I find interesting is, what if City Hall, I mean, for the past few years, things have been a little stagnant with 10 wards that are open up with no incumbents. I mean, there's got to be something good that's going on there.
Yeah, it's definitely no secret that in Toronto City Hall, once you're elected, it's like a golden ticket. Rarely are incumbents defeated in an election. So in a year with almost a quarter of the councillors not returning, What's that going to mean for City Hall?
I think it depends on who gets voted into City Hall. And that really brings us down to who's running for which ward and what connections they have, because that's what people will focus on.
Interestingly enough, the thing that stood out for me is the fact that even though we have these 10 incumbents not coming back, we still have things like, for example, in Michael Walker's ward, it's his executive assistant that's in the top place. And the second runner is Josh Matlow, who is a known name from the school trustee, or Jack Layton's son running. I mean, these aren't people who haven't, you know, these are all people who are connected and are maintaining the status quo.
And you got to worry about these people that kind of have that cushion to fall on. I mean, I don't want to say any names, of course, but some people like have been criticized for being a part of a ward that is very incestuous. And even if they won't be elected city councilor, there's a chance that they're going to get a job somewhere.
I agree completely with you, Carrie. It is this buffer, and we're not making these people scared enough. They're far too comfortable, which means that they aren't going to be making chances, making new decisions. They aren't going to be bringing in new ideas. They're going to stick with the status quo. And we're going to continue to see a city that just keeps putting one foot in front of the other along the same line that it's always been doing.
Fair enough. But I think we're running close to the end of time, ladies. Do we have any final thoughts for this installment of our program?
Well, I hope that we get some more callers in from our field reporters, and I'm sure that we will as the evening progresses. I'm very anxious to see what ends up happening with these extensive lines that are wrapped around the corner. Whether or not these people will get the chance to vote remains to be seen.
Absolutely, Carrie. And on that exact same note, what I want to say is that I am so excited that those lineups exist. Considering our last election didn't even bring in 40% of the voters, if we could get that vote up above that 50% mark, up into 60, 70, 80, oh my goodness, could you imagine if those demographics are being represented in through their vote? Let's hope, guys. Fingers crossed.
It could be huge, and I know I have my fingers crossed. I think that it's quite clear to see, though, ladies and gentlemen, that we are in exciting times, and tonight is an exciting night. So stick with us, and we'll be back in an hour. See you at 9 o'clock.